Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. Wednesday, November 20th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, it's a C.A. Nuri, as I am your host for today. Today is Wednesday. That means it's a man down mashup Wednesday where we mash together the two shows and where we do some critical critique of what is trending, what is in the headline. Today's headline I see is IMF. Right? This is the second time the IMF is suggesting, strongly putting forward ideas. I'm going to say what the ideas are. But this comes following the IDB, saying that businesses here are having some challenges, saying that they have to be bribing various firms in order to get things done, to speed things along. My question today is why? Not that they given this advice, you know. Because I believe in conspiracy theories of economic hitmen and people say, man, they are here to bankrupt, to right size, to control small economies. I can believe that. I believe in conspiracy theories. But we pay these agencies to evaluate us, the IDB, the IMF, for a reason. We listen to them for a reason. We reference them in our newspaper, our media, for a reason. Our leaders respond to them for a reason. So even though you may have conspiracy theories saying, man, oh, they have issues in the IMF, they have corruption there, and they shouldn't be critiquing any country because they have their own issues. We have these entities. We follow these entities. We listen to these entities for a reason. Now, like I said earlier, this is the second time the IMF asks that we tax a upward income, high income people. I'm not sure what that is anymore because we still debate what is middle class and what is rich people. So I can talk about that with Aaron shortly.
Just know it ain't me. Just make sure you don't put my name on
that. We ain't trying to tax you, Aaron. Don't worry about that. We ain't trying to tax you. You don't have no money.
I just want you to know.
Yeah. And I have the money, so I still want to know who they plan to tax. And they said the over-the-hill communities tend to have all the money because we tend to spend more money than everybody else. We ain't cheap because we pay to survive. We spend to survive.
So they're saying that the inner-city people tend to be more decent and pay their bills, so they end up paying more than other people?
It's a matter of interpretation.
That's how I, yeah.
Matter of interpretation.
I didn't do well in comprehension.
Okay. This is the second time the IMF mentioned that the VAT is too low. We need to increase VAT.
How would the VAT be too low and the rent is too high?
See, I get in there, Aaron. I set you up so you can respond to all of this because you got to read the article. I'm just saying that this is the second time. The first time I said, ignore these buggers, man. They're always complaining. They're just trying to control our economy. But something happening. Something happening despite they make a reference that things have improved. We're going back to the same levels of when it was in 2017.
They overspend by $20 million in September. They say that.
They say that. Let me bring you in now so you can read the article so we can have a discussion on what is it that they see. Should I be concerned? Should I ask a tough question to our leaders and say, hey, this is the second time the IMF saying this now and I am concerned. You have a duty of care to explain to me why they keep on saying it. Should I be concerned that we are spending too much, or should I be concerned that we are borrowing too much, or should I be concerned that we keep on begging these people and they say, hey, y'all look like y'all need to raise taxes, man, because y'all keep on asking us for things.
What you should be concerned about is that my campaign slogan can be, I don't catch flights, I catch feelings. That's what you should be concerned about. So the articles we're reading from in today's papers, The Guardian, IMF raise VAT. IMF also recommends income tax for top earners. OPM, no, oh, second headline, OPM, no plan to raise VAT. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, is recommending an increase in the value-added tax, VAT, rate, and the introduction of personal income tax for top earners among measures government meet its debt target of 50% of GDP by fiscal year 2031. Quote, these measures, along with the supply-side reforms described below, would ensure the debt target is met and help build fiscal credibility, while still generating resources to increase investments in education, targeted social transfers, and climate-resilient infrastructure, said the IMF in its staff concluding statement of the 2024 Article 4 mission. Last night, the Office of the Prime Minister issued a response saying the government does not intend to raise VAT. My mommy didn't intend to beat me either, but it turned out I was a bad child. The government, the OPM, Office of the Prime Minister, is issued a response saying the government does not intend to raise VAT, which is 10%. The IMF also recommends replacing the business license fee with a 15% profits tax on firms, eliminating the ceiling on the property tax, reducing tax expenditures. We go to page 5. Mm-hmm. Raising water rates for heavy users and ensuring the collection of patient fees within the public hospital's authority. It added that proposed reforms to civil service pensions should be supplemented with more holistic changes to both the civil service and national NIB pension systems. Quote, the draft proposal introduces a contribution for new hires, increases the mandatory retirement age, and eliminates the possibility of early retirement at age 55, close quotes, the IMF said. Quote, these are constructive changes that will lessen the actuarial imbalance of the civil service pension system. Mm. However, additional steps are needed to harmonize, including gradually raising the contribution rate for the NIB, aligning the minimum retirement age between the NIB and the civil service systems, and indexing the retirement age to life expectancy for both systems, close quotes. Would that mean for young people?
I don't know.
In our search for more taxes, are we limiting, inadvertently or unintentionally creating barriers for young people to gain full employment? Mm-hmm. All right, we continue from the article. The IMF said long-term growth needs to be lifted by investing in human capital, closing digitalization gaps. Remember when the Attorney General said like it could be impossible for FOIA because you guys digitize everything?
And yes. Yes.
I'm going to continue reading from the
yes.
article. The IMF said long-term by investing in human capital, closing digitalization gaps, relieving capacity constraints in tourism.
What do you mean by that? You need more rooms again? That's what they just said?
That's what it sounds like they just said.
Do you know that we have a housing
crisis? The sentence not finished yet. Maybe they will also, like they'll juxtapose that to the need
for behemoths.
For local housing capacity to increase also. Hmm. Reducing labor market informality and fighting crime. Are you going to like have reforms in the labor market and include and increase protections for employees in like small businesses and thing? Because the man them out there begging their employees for inappropriate things. Quote, incentivizing private sector investments in hotel capacity, particularly outside of New Providence, potential growth in the tourism sector. But if you grow hotel capacity, particularly outside of New Providence, it has to occur simultaneously.
See, there you go.
With an expansion on
the domestic
housing. On the domestic housing inventory on the domestic side. What if the people you are encouraging to invest in growing hotel capacity are competing with the people who need homes. And what if the people you're competing with are the people you need to build the rooms that you want to invest in?
Go ahead. What else do you recommend?
It continues, quote, expanding vocational and apprenticeship programs. I like that. Improving skill databases and job services would build skills, support job matching, and reduce youth employment. I like that. Reducing crime will require investments in crime mitigation strategies. A larger police force. What are they gonna drive in?
I see our police force is expanding like monthly. Every other day they announce a new class.
How graduating. Could your police force be expanding, but your traffic department is obviously imploding? Like it's in.
I'm not sure where the police are going, but we have graduating classes every other.
Well,
month.
Of course, because we have also retiring, right?
Not that type of numbers. I talk about once upon a time you see new classes like once a year, once every 2 years. Now, like in a year, you have 3 to 4 different classes graduating, going on the road. It just seems to be an increase. Which is cool.
But no, which is interesting to me because then I get to find a budget and look for the line item. Mm. That's fascinating to me because the road traffic enforcement continues to shrink while you're saying the force is growing exponentially, comparatively. Okay, reducing crime will require investments in crime mitigation strategies, a larger police force, better leveraging data analytics to target intervention, and continuing recent efforts to enhance the effectiveness of the criminal justice system. So better leveraging data analytics, that's the computer. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the computer right there. The IMF added, quote, investing in climate-resilient infrastructure will substantially decrease output losses from slow-moving aspects of climate change. Investing in climate-resilient infrastructure will substantially decrease output losses from slow-moving aspects of climate change, e.g. sea level rises. So they're talking about the potholes. Mm-hmm. Like if you get a better quality of paving material, or if you get a better skilled or trained labor force to provide paving services, or if you actually pave and stop cold patching. This is because this is an actual example of that right now. Climate resilient infrastructure. To what extent does sea level rise affect the ground right below the road? Case in point, Prince Charles, sinkhole. We might as well call that a natural feature and make it a tourist attraction. Here we go. The recommendations were made as the IMF observed that the Bahamian economy staged a, quote, remarkable recovery following Hurricane Dorian in 2019 and the COVID-19 pandemic. See, do they mean an economic recovery? Because how did you make that assessment? We, the people, have not been able to access the data required for us to make the assessment that there's been a remarkable recovery. The people on the ground say they ain't feeling it. They expanded, they reformed the taxi space. There's 755,000 taxis on the road. They say they ain't making any money.
I want you to continue reading, but I have a caller here. Let me continue. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Say good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You know, I just listened to part of what you were saying, Aaron, in regards to increasing the police force, right? The number of persons. You know, who are we increasing the police force with? Are we criminalizing the police force? I say that in reference. I mean, even the minister himself said that the number of qualified persons, male persons especially, it's very, very, it's lacking. They have to re-scrape the bottom of the barrel to find qualified males to go on police force. And the vetting process as well. I was listening to the Caribbean News that comes on ZNet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prime Minister of Trinidad is saying that the criminals, man, the criminals are on the police force. And they're trying to pay the so-called good officers more. Because what they're finding out is that the criminals, okay, are being recruited on the police force, and they inform the criminals outside and let them know when the police is coming and so on and so forth.
That sounds like the movie The Departed.
And I'm saying, I think our police force, you know, the level to me of integrity is not very high. I know we have most of the police officers, I believe, are men of integrity, but you got some people in there who are just there for the money, and they just want to get what they could get, and however they get it. The government needs to do a better job of
vetting
these individuals.
And not just vetting.
I know that the police, according to Mr. Monroe, misgiving that as soon as these have committed any crime, fortunately they are, you know, terminated or placed before the court, which is good. But, I mean, we need to try not to recruit more people. We need to reduce the level of crime so we don't need more
officers.
An
intervention.
Why don't you start with putting stronger penalties on possession of guns? You know, why don't you just start with that? Instead of hiring all these people who they can't find car. Every time we buy the car, would cost $70,000-$80,000. They run down the road, they mash them up. They're in the back of the bush, in the back of there, in the garage. You call for a car, you can't find a car. Mr. Monroe, go to the Parliament tomorrow and put a penalty of 25 years. Anyone who's found in the possession of illegal firearms, because it's the guns which are causing the high crime rate in this country.
No, man, the gun can't even catch a cab on its own. It can't
be the
gun.
The gun in the hands of the wrong
person.
Give me a moment for an intervention, caller. Pardon me?
Give me a moment for an intervention.
Okay.
Right? Because we are quick to, like, Your contribution is sound, right? But when you say that it's at the vetting stage, right? Like, who is the pool that we're pulling from for police officers? I think it's less that and more, what is the training, right? Like, how do you prepare these candidates to be police officers? What is it that they absorb in that training process that causes them to veer to the left or the right, as opposed to staying on the straight and narrow path, right? Is it possible that the problem is not that we're picking up these reckless or, you know, unruly, ill-disciplined young people and trying to make them police officers? I think across the world, that's what you do. When they go to the army, you're taking these by them and you're turning them into man. The question is, what's a space that doesn't entrench in them a commitment to integrity, right? And policing. The second thing is this. If I tell you how many black and white plates I see running stop signs and red lights every day on a regular basis, those are senior members of either the force or the civil service who are assigned to drive judges. And you imagine that you driving a judge in a judge's vehicle and you running stop signs and red lights. You're not using your turn signal to take turns and to change lanes. You're ignoring pedestrians and the sidewalk, right?
Right.
That's the people driving the judge.
So, Aaron,
and the judge's vehicle.
Saying,
who you expect to follow? See,
so,
yes.
You are saying that this culture, it's the culture of the country, and there is nothing that we can do.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying, A, yes, it is the culture of the country. B, we can change it, but we can't change it until we acknowledge the problem really is.
So how are we going to fix this, Aaron?
The way that we fix it is by every day when been our politicians and governmental leaders look in our face and say, any old foolishness, any old rhetoric, right? We do the work of gathering the information and putting it back to them and say, no, we know that you're talking foolishness. We know that this is political rhetoric. We know that this is a ploy to garner my heart, but you're talking foolishness and it don't make sense. We have to take a stand and challenge those at the top, because you could see your brothers, your cousins, your schoolmates, yours at your age, sir. They ain't following the laws. They on the road doing whatever.
And, you know, and that is sad but true. And we always talk about sweating the small stuff and whatnot. And, you know, that never happens. You know, it never happens. And people see these individuals doing these things and they feel like, you know what, I can do it as well. Especially if you're wearing a so-called government uniform and you know people and you know your squaddy, you know this one and that one and so forth. But we have to, what Bremen always say, we need what? Justice, law and order.
Thank you so much,
country.
Sir.
And I until that happens, you could have all the policemen in the world. Ain't nothing can change it. It has to start from the front. You know, as I go, Aaron, our politicians come to us the same way. We really don't vet them either. Okay,
they come and
they put these people in the front of us, and these people promise us all kind of things, what they can do and whatnot. And, you know, when they get on the force, they don't do half the things they say, and they didn't even come back and say, you know what, I apologize for not even doing what. So the politicians, they just like the police people, you know.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Thank you very much, Carl. Thank you very much for sharing those sentiments.
Good. Let's continue to read, Aaron, and conclude on that.
Absolutely. Give me a second to go back to page 5. Again, we're reading from today's Nassau Guardian. IMF raised VAT. On page 5, we continue.
And I'm noticing that the IMF went into detail, right? It was just not about taxes. They recommend one or two things that the government consider or can reject.
A number of things,
My concern is they hopper in about increasing monies.
Yeah.
And I want to know, is it that we are short of monies? Or it can't be just that they feel for our good graces and say, well, we're just helping you out.
Well,
it has to be a reason why they keep on harping on that the Bahamas needs access to more monies.
Well, listen, I read at the very end of my hour, I want you to know that call, this article, just the first couple of paragraphs, deficit more than triples to $194 million in first quarter. I would like to know, does the IMF understand that we, the Bahamian people, are resistant to this idea, not because we don't understand how this would help, right? But because we understand that a promise was made that this, not even a promise, it was declared that VAT would be used to reduce the deficit. And here we are now.
Bahamians forgot that.
Here we are now with this article today, say deficit more than triples to $194 million in first quarter. Mm-hmm. I just want the IMF to understand that we are not resisting the idea of an increase in VAT because we're silly, we're simple, we're greedy. It's just that we cannot trust that the money extracted or derived from this tax increase will actually solve the problem, will be used in the way recommended by said agency.
Long and short, you're saying we still could be short, even if they increase it.
Yeah. I mean, I ended the show, my show yesterday, acknowledging that we need $11 million to upsize the economy. Mm-hmm. And now, looking at this story, I got to add $11 billion. Mm-hmm. I got to add another $40 million to it because that was only September.
We have another caller there, Aaron. Producer, connect me to. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
You know, I appreciated that show you guys did with the gold or the treasure that was found from one of the Spanish galleons.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, you know, I love when you your humorous critique about where the money went or whoever, wherever funnel or labyrinth it went down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is labyrinthine in this country, right? So the IMF has nothing to do with our malfeasance. I don't even care if they raise the taxes because, you know, I know it's inevitable. It's eventual. But what I'm looking at is a whole chronology of problems. Aaron, I love what you said because I was saying it for years on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot solve a problem if you're not conscious or you don't acknowledge the problem. The problem of corruption, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So my neighbor, Mr. Starr, we realize we have a lot of decent police officers. But what's the point of being decent when you can't comment on anything? You can't stand up for anything. So there's no sense being decent and being a coward. You might as well live in Broward. Problem is, you could imagine officers coming into your homes and handcuffing you and brutalizing you, and things went missing and go missing. There have been many other scenarios, right? But then you find out that nothing them on in patrol cars, no impunity, never, ever. So, I mean, where are we at? Like you say, then we developed a state of learned helplessness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then what is a citizen? We saw a situation in which they said that some people were denied the visitation to their child, right? I saw it on Facebook with Lincoln being, et cetera, et cetera. So we are not in an uproar about that. And that's somebody's child, and I listen to the insensitive comments. So whatever obfuscation is occurring, what I'm saying is there's no amalgamation of the people. A weak people, pathetic. We want to get together for the rising price of gasoline and all of that, but I don't see anybody riding any bicycle or doing anything that day. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So what are we going to do? Just sit and cry and just hope for Jesus to come and do everything without us lifting a finger?
That's exactly where we are culturally.
Bless her.
That your belief alone, right? Your supreme, your the tribute that you give and your belief alone, right, is the thing that qualifies you for the prosperity. Is a text here? Now, text, I can let Mr. Newry read that and see if we could read it out loud. I ain't sure if I should read that text out loud or if I need to rephrase it. I just ain't sure, text, and I'm trying to be...
We can't prove none of that, Aaron.
A little careful, yeah. We can't. Sorry about that. Anyway, Mr. Newry, so 52 was speaking just now, right? Mm-hmm. And I looked at the Tribune headlines. I'm going to continue reading from The Guardian. No plan to raise VAT on IMF advice. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, I think I could, you know, I like that. You say he don't plan on doing it.
Is it saying that he doesn't have a plan?
Well, this is what I'm wondering, because then I read the next headline. Davis, no plan for profit margin increase for fuel wholesalers. And that's when I asked the same question you asked. Is it that you don't plan on doing it? Is it that you don't have a plan, but you're going to do it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that...
What is the plan? How do you address these issues? The wholesalers saying that they deserve a raise. Is it that you don't plan to give it to them, or they don't deserve the raise? Or
they said they deserve the raise?
What did they say they deserve the raise? Get for?
Because it was unfair. See, the retailers said they deserve the raise because
they can't afford to survive.
No, not just that they can't afford to survive. They can't afford to pay the taxes
mm-hmm.
that they owe the government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so we can't afford to operate. Nobody could afford to operate this business because we can't pay the taxes that mm-hmm. we owe you. That's not what the fuel wholesalers, that's not their position. 23 was record net profit for them in the history of the company,
mm-hmm.
right? So the reason they say they deserve it is because it is unfair to give it to the retailers and not to the wholesalers. But that's like saying it's unfair to give the gold medal only to the first place winners and the silver and bronze to the second and third place winners because we did run the race too.
Mm.
We can read from the article in the Tribune. Davis, no plan for profit margin, or you want to finish the IMF article?
Finish the IMF article so we can move to that quickly.
All right, here we go again. We're back in the Nassau Guardian. Nonetheless, longstanding challenges remain. Quote, income per capita continues to diverge from that in the U.S. At the same time, expensive electricity. That's what they call.
Well, our government doing something with expensive electricity, right? People are bragging that electricity is going down.
I mean, we're still not quite sure if consumption has dropped significantly because of the change in weather.
Hmm.
Income per capita continues to diverge from that in the U.S. At the same time, expensive electricity, a shortage of skilled labor,
saying that for a while, yeah.
And obstacles to business formation and expansion continue to weigh on growth. What are obstacles to business formation and expansion?
Mm.
Quote, as in many other countries, government debt GDP jumped during the pandemic and borrowing costs remain uncomfortably high. The archipelago is also highly susceptible to natural disasters and rising sea levels, both of which argue for increased investments in resilience buffers so as to better respond to climate-related shocks. Quote, risks to the outlook for activity are balanced. Upside risks include the execution of announced infrastructure and hotel construction projects and a higher-than-expected boost from an expansion of short-term rentals. How is that a risk? I don't know. The main downsides stem from large public debt rollover needs. That's the government. And the ever-present risk of natural disasters. Close quotes.
But these things we knew already.
You could imagine the government looking at me, one citizen, and saying, oh, you didn't fare well in the storm. And look at me. Look at all the work I have to do. You think I have time to worry about you one person? I said, government, look at all the work I have to do. Quote, the main downsides stem from large public debt rollover needs and the ever-present risk of natural disasters, close quotes. The IMF noted that planned electricity sector reforms seek to modernize transmission and distribution channels.
Finally.
And increase the use of renewables. Such a shift in the energy matrix would, over the medium term, help narrow the current account deficit, reduce vulnerability to commodity price shocks, and boost growth, close quotes, IMF said. Quote, in implementing the government's plan, strengthening of the institutional framework for public-private partnerships will be an important precondition, and more broadly, there should be a clear definition of risk-sharing between private and public sectors. Improving the operations, lowering costs, and optimizing the capital structure of the Bahamas Power and Light Corporation would help support these reform efforts, close quotes, end of meeting. Did nobody tell the IMF that we want a referendum on PPPs?
We ain't getting no referendum on PPPs.
No, I think it's important to make this note, though, because I'm not sure if the IMF is aware that while our government wants to increase its use of PPPs, it also wants to decrease the transparency around government business and doesn't want to tell us what types of monies that they are spending in these PPPs. They don't want
politics there. Let's go to the caller there. Producer Patrick, I call it through, please.
Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me?
Yeah, man, go ahead.
You know, Aaron and enlighten everybody. No one has called the thank God for how good we're doing. We are the fifth fattest nation in the world. Why y'all don't talk about that?
I had a whole Give Thanks show on Thursday last.
Okay, yeah, we're the fifth fattest. That means the Haitians are very slim. Mexicans are slim. Y'all are very fat. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling me fat. I feel better about
myself. Better. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening regularly so you could offer that sound and thorough critique. Thank you.
What we just need to do is some healthy living and exercise. Behemoths need exercise. Yeah.
Shh.
Because eggs are
I want you to understand.
Eggs are $6.10.
The Prime Minister may be listening. And eventually he's going to tell us what you call political turmoil and economic instability is what I call preparing y'all for your future. You can't make good choices. You want to walk.
The future got to be better than this.
You want to drive in car and don't want to walk. Well, the Prime Minister is going to help you out by making car usage unattainable for the average person.
To help us exercise.
To encourage you. You remember when the other Prime Minister said you gotta urge the by them to compel their staff to do things?
Yeah.
The Prime Minister took that word. Mm-hmm. He gotta urge y'all to compel yourself to get healthy. You don't want to walk? Now you can't afford gas.
Let's talk about the government plan or a lack thereof.
All right, so the next headline, OPM, no plan to raise VAT. The Office of the Prime Minister last night quickly responded to a recommendation contained in a newly released IMF statement saying the Davis administration has no plan to raise value-added tax, which is currently 10%. The recommendation to increase the VAT rate was made by the IMF in its staff concluding statement of the 2024 Article 4 mission. It recommended several measures to help the government meet its debt, and we're going to go to page 9.
So the IMF recommended. They wanted us to meet our debt payment or budget for 2026.
Here's a question I have for you. Is it possible that the IMF put 4 probable solutions on the table and the government picked the VAT one?
It's possible.
I just saying. Okay, I can continue reading from the article.
Yeah, because there's different scenarios they recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about that.
It recommended several measures to help the government meet its debt target of 50% of GDP by fiscal year 2031.
2031?
Yeah. The IMF recommended replacing the business license fee with a 15% profits tax on large domestic firms, introducing a personal income tax for the top earners, eliminating the ceiling on the property tax, reducing tax expenditures, raising water rates for heavy users, and ensuring the collection of patient fees within the public hospital's authority. OPM said, quote, the recommendations made by the IMF are consistent with those made to previous administrations. However, just as we did not follow the decision to raise VAT to 15%, we have no intention of raising VAT. The global inflation crisis has led to higher prices in our country, adding to cost of living burdens for Bahamians. Close quotes. The IMF also reported that the Bahamian economy has staged a remarkable recovery following Hurricane Dorian in 2019 and the COVID-19 pandemic. It said, quote, activity and employment have recovered to their pre-pandemic levels and inflation has fallen back below pre-pandemic levels. Public finances are improving and borrowing costs have declined. Close quotes.
Mm-hmm. That's good news.
Yeah, but people ain't getting paid.
But that's still good news.
How could it be good news? As I'm saying, how could it be good news, right? Like, how could public finances are improving and borrowing costs have declined if people are not getting paid?
But surely people are getting paid because unemployment is down.
No. Remember, a person who is unemployed becomes a discouraged worker if they discontinue looking for work for 4 weeks. We still have not had a clear decrease in unemployment resulted in an increase in discouraged workers, as indicated by Mr. Fred Mitchell and Ms. Pia Glover-Roll. I go back to the article. I'm continue reading. OPM said the Davis administration entered government at a time of profound crisis. I mean, the irony. Quote, the government moved immediately to end harmful policies, offer relief to Bahamian families, stabilize the nation's finances, and boost economic growth. Personal economic growth, possibly. OPM said, adding that the IMF report, quote, acknowledges our country's progress moving from crisis to growth. Mm-hmm. Close quotes.
Which is true.
No, we're still in a housing crisis.
Yeah, but the list of things are how we improved, despite the housing crisis.
We have an economic crisis that is spurred on, apparently, by a gun and violence crisis, mm-hmm. with murders costing, what, $100 million in the region. Over much more work ahead, many more Bahamians are now working, and the nation is on a stronger, more sustainable path forward. See, if the IMF report had said that,
mm-hmm.
I would say, okay, their job is to be, what you call it, unbiased,
yeah,
right?
Objective.
But the OMF said that. I mean, the OPM said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could say whatever.
Yeah. See, my thing is, should we be concerned or should we take the IMF report with some salt and say, okay, they're saying? Because I appreciate what the Office of the Prime Minister says. They highlighted the good things that is happening. And the IMF is basically saying, despite the good things that has happened, these are my recommendations for you for your survival. That, I think, needs to be hashed out. Why would they continue to push despite seeing the obvious growth in our economy?
Because the growth is not sufficient. The growth doesn't meet the targets, right? Like, you can't say, oh, congratulate me because I've grown, when you didn't hit the target that you were supposed to hit.
Mm.
The growth occurs naturally, I mean, unless you're really, really mashing the Y bump. But in our, I think our growth is dependent on far more on external forces and dynamics than it is on what's going on locally. The only power we have is to mash it up.
Mm. The government has concluded that we won't increase VAT. What about the other IMF recommendations? Are we embracing them? Do they meet what they're doing at what the Office of the Prime Minister announced, that these are the things that we have accomplished and moving towards? Does the IMF recommendation coincide with those things?
I don't think so. Also, I just want to say that nobody said that they are not raised. They said they don't have a plan to raise it.
No.
And then the second thing is they said they don't have any intention of raising it.
Mm-hmm.
I will believe you will not raise VAT when you say, listen, if I end up having to raise VAT for whatever external or internal reason, mm-hmm. I will resign. Trust me, mm-hmm. I will resign my position as prime minister. Then I will believe you that you personally had no intention of raising VAT, but you were forced to by external dynamics.
Do you see ever embracing income tax for the higher persons who make...
I can't even see government income. I can't even see what the politicians make. I can't see that. Why you think I... What would you say about the other income?
Let's go to this next caller. Patrick, continue to read. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yeah, Ms. Green, Mr. Nui. Sorry for calling back. 1 second here.
Yes, sir.
Some mindfulness here. Mr. Nui, you and Mr. Green, Ms. Green, you can find out, the GDP, the gross domestic product was about now 13, 14 billion. So let's find out, the punch is to print these type models in which they would say, how much is the government payroll? Maybe like 1 point something billion now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the GDP now. We see where they just hire 100 something police officers. How effective they will be matters, because we see where people are saying they're not receiving pensions. You understand me? So we see all the inefficiencies, and we still see the overspending by government. And they don't, you see what I'm saying? And then so we must look at that. So the thing is, with the raising of the VAT, right? The prime minister is sincere, but what I'm saying is, we will see if they will raise it if they win the election. They know that if they do it now. See, you have to think, like our politician is thinking. They would never do it now, and he have to say things. So we would see if they win. If they win, God hope, God forbid, that if they would raise it, because they will follow the stipulations by the IMF. Don't mind people them. This is the global order. But, 15% is not the highest, but if they raise it, they raise it. It really don't matter to me, I swear. Because we don't come together for anything else. So I don't really care if they raise it. Because a lot of poor people looking for love, and they don't realize there's no love. And so I'm sorry for those who really, up your game. Up your game and pay the taxes, because that's where the world is headed. And most of people are very, very, very naive, don't know that that's what drives economies. This is what all governments do. They see every citizen. I said this years ago. They see each of us as a tax. But filling up the country with poor people won't solve our problem.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thanks. This text says, just relax, y'all. See Alan Johnson to call in a few minutes and tell us how the FNM ensure VAT is going toward the debt and all the legislation they have planned to address corruption, malfeasance, because they differenter than the PLP. See? LOL. Seriously, though, does anyone from, where is it, three parties have a plan they can provide, or we going to into the 51 years of trust me, bro, well, and the road of Miss
what? The way that the FNM headhunted Komolafe,
mm-hmm.
if they don't have a sound economic platform between Komolafe, C. Allen Johnson, and all the other economists they have in their party,
yeah.
They finish, buddy. You destroy the whole DNA for their economic platform?
Uh-huh.
Ah, boy.
Let's get to the next caller, then we can finish reading. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Good morning.
It's the Trey calling. How are you guys?
Good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I was chiming. I was listening in, and I thought that I should be available to add to the conversation on the IMF report.
Okay, well, hold on, Mr. Nuri. What are you doing tomorrow in your hour? Would you like to appear in the 11 o'clock hour so we could give you sufficient time to respond to the report and then the commentary in the wider public?
I have no difficulty doing that. I just wanted to make sure that that persons really understand, in the shortest term, that the first line of the IMF report,
mm-hmm.
because the recommendations that the IMF recommends to government has been to this administration. I mean, these mm-hmm. recommendations aren't uniquely new to the PLP.
Yes,
mm-hmm. they recommend them all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tomorrow, I definitely want to. Comments, we have a wider conversation at that time with you guys.
11 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, 11 o'clock, okay.
Yes, right. Sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man, we can do that. It's always good to have good insight and explanation on why and wherefore.
Absolutely, no, absolutely.
So I can take an opportunity of it.
And I want to thank you, because I felt compelled with the nature of my commentary this morning to offer a space, but I have a guest
I'm prepared to entertain and also to ask some questions to explain why the IMF keep on making these same recommendations. Right. And should we as a Bahamian people be concerned?
Right. And then further to that, what is it that we, the Bahamian people, should be doing, right? Coming from an advocate's perspective.
What do you mean we doing?
What can we be doing as per 52, right? What are the ways in which Bahamians can organize themselves, whether it is to better understand the economic policies that sort of drive their personal economy and how organizations to collect data and produce reports for the wider public and to ensure that the government sees that somebody is providing oversight and checking the figures?
One of the IMF recommendations is that Bahamians need to pay their hospital bills. Do that. That's simple. PMH just said pay the bills. The recommendation was
I feel you. You know what's the problem?
Like
I am an NHI patient, mm-hmm. right? And I was told that there were certain procedures that are covered under NHI. And then I was told there's a certain price. Like you go in as a public, right, into the public ward as a public patient. And then all of a sudden, without any notice to me, a patient, everything seemed to change. So I enter the system with the understanding, right, that I am a public patient. And while I was in the midst of the system, they look at me and tell me, no, you're a private patient. I mean, of course, people can't pay the bills if they're not prepared to pay. How am I prepared to pay it if the sum of the bill changes in the midst of the process?
Ever to public.
No, I was public, and then I was told, no, NHI patients are all private patients.
Strange.
But in the sense, you're criminalizing people. How you could tell me I'm a public patient, what I'm supposed to pay, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to know. And then the worst part is the people speak to you like you are a criminal, like you're trying to swing them.
PHA have a huge bill. No one is paying their bills. That's a concern.
That's because we don't know who to pay. I want to say, first of all, good morning, Troy. And then the rest of y'all who don't like to turn your name badges around so people could see who you are so they could figure out who they're supposed to pay. Maybe that's the problem. Hey, Troy.
Yeah, hey, Troy.
Yeah.
Let's finish reading the articles because we ran out of time. Time to go soon.
All right. It recommended several measures to help the government meet its debt target of 50% of GDP by fiscal year 2031. The IMF recommended replacing the business license fee with a 15% profits tax on large domestic firms, introducing a person for the top earners, eliminating the ceiling on the property tax, reducing tax expenditures, raising water rates for heavy users, and ensuring the collection of patient fees within the PHA.
See?
OPM said, I mean,
pay your PHA, your hospital authority thing, man.
No, but you see the point I'm making?
Mm-hmm. I understand your point.
Yeah. You all figure out what we're supposed to be paying. Mm. Don't let somebody who doesn't want to show me their name badge tell me the price has changed. Because you ain't going to never get paid.
Okay.
OPM said, quote, the recommendations made by the IMF are consistent with those made to previous administrations. However, just as we did not follow the 2021 recommendation to raise VAT to 15%, we have no intention of raising VAT. The global inflation crisis has led to higher prices in our country, adding to cost of living burdens for Bahamians. Tell me what you are going to do in the alternate to reach the same target.
That's my point.
The IMF also reported that the Bahamian economy has staged, we read that. It said activity and employment have recovered. OPM said the Davis administration entered at a time of profound crisis. Quote, the government moved immediately. That seems so trite. OPM said, while there is much more work ahead, many more Bahamians are now working and the nation is on a stronger, more sustainable path forward. You can't compare the people who are working now to the people who weren't working in the pandemic because you locked it down and virtually no one could work. The statement from the Prime Minister's office did not detail the longstanding challenges contained in the IMF statement. Why not? The IMF said, but then Mr. Raming Luttrell will be joining you. Hopefully I will be here. The IMF said, quote, income per capita continues to diverge from that in the U.S. At the same time, expensive electricity, a shortage of skilled labor, and obstacles to business formation and expansion continue to weigh on growth. The archipelago is also highly susceptible to natural disasters. These are all the quotes from the last article. It said, quote, such a shift in the energy matrix would over the medium term help narrow the current account deficit, reduce vulnerability to commodity
price shocks. I would just want to know the government's plan.
OPM said the Davis administration is implementing comprehensive energy reforms, but did it also implement the Beneficial Owners Act as well at the same time, including the first utility-scale solar farms to reduce prices for homes and businesses and to strengthen our electricity grid. Quote, lower electricity prices and stable electricity supply are essential to supporting further economic growth and to encouraging investment by a new generation of Bahamian entrepreneurs. Quote, this administration will continue to implement reforms and deliver progress while addressing the unique challenges of an archipelagic nation. I just want to note two things. I'm thankful to say this is the first time I've seen the government use the term archipelagic nation. And for that, I am thankful. I'm extremely
thankful. At least with this article, they list the number of things that the government, initiatives that the government is doing.
No, that the government said that they're doing.
You don't believe the government is doing it?
I know what the government is doing. But I know what the government says
it's
doing.
What we need to do when Mr. Ramin comes, right, have a juxtapose. IMF recommended versus things that the government, Office of Prime Minister announced that they're doing, and see if they align.
Right. How will your plan align or enable you to meet the target? Don't just tell me you're doing it. Tell me
or
how.
Or doing things.
Tell me how what you're doing specifically and how it will work.
Yeah. But tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that he called in, and especially to address us to say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Listen, you know? If you hear anybody talking about they're going to nominate me to be a candidate in any election, tell them not airing her new campaign.
You're going to run for the PLP?
No, the slogan could be, I don't catch flights, I catch feelings. But in actuality, I don't catch flights.
You don't get no nomination for that.
I don't catch flights and feelings.
You don't get no nomination.
Vote for me.
You might get one F&M nomination for that, no? See why?
I don't catch flights, I catch feelings.
You look like you're running independent.
Vote for me.
Bodak, Jabat, that is called it. Jabat.
No, he's Serbats now.
No, Serbats. Have a wonderful day. It's Guardian Radio AM. Very much Aaron Green. Tomorrow, we should have Latre Ramming from the Office of the Prime Minister, mm-hmm. who's going to go over the IMF report and explain what it is that the government is actually doing. And then we'll see if he can do a compare and contrast to what the IMF report is.
Right. And then we're doing a seasonal sunshine giveaway. And I think we're going to do a CA Newry pepper sauce giveaway as well.
We're doing that tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
In my hour.
Have a wonderful day.